Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Belly Up: The Collapse of the Penn Square Bank by Philip L. Zweig is a nonfiction account of one of the most consequential bank failures of the early 1980s. Drawing on investigative reporting, the book explains how Penn Square Bank, a small institution in an Oklahoma shopping mall, became deeply exposed to risky energy lending tied to the oil and gas boom. Zweig uses the bank's rise and collapse to show how speculation, weak oversight, and outright misconduct can combine into a larger financial crisis. The book is not a technical banking manual. It is a report on the culture surrounding the boom, the lending practices that fed it, and the wider damage that followed when the energy cycle reversed. It is valuable both as a historical narrative and as an analysis of how local financial excess can spread beyond one institution and affect the broader banking system. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how a small Oklahoma bank became a trigger for wider financial damage. The central story of the book is that Penn Square was not a large or famous bank, yet its failure had consequences far beyond its size. Zweig shows how an aggressive lender in a shopping mall setting was able to make enormous loans tied to the energy sector and then transmit losses to larger institutions that had bought into those risks. This matters because it demonstrates a common pattern in financial crises. Systemic danger often begins in places that appear ordinary or marginal. The book explains that the bank was embedded in a broader network of money center banks, energy borrowers, and investors who assumed the boom would continue. When that assumption broke, the losses were not isolated. By focusing on this chain reaction, the book highlights how concentration, interdependence, and misplaced confidence can turn a local failure into a banking problem with national implications. Secondly, energy speculation and the illusion of reserves as the basis for reckless lending. A major theme in the book is the role of the oil and gas boom in creating the conditions for excessive credit. Penn Square and its borrowers treated leases, rigs, and hoped for reserves as if they were reliable foundations for debt, even when the underlying assets were uncertain or imaginary. Zweig presents this as more than a simple mistake. It reflects a speculative culture in which rising prices and optimism distorted judgment. The book is especially useful in showing how commodity booms can encourage lenders to accept weak collateral and borrowers to exaggerate prospects. When the oil glut arrived and regulatory conditions changed, the assumptions behind the lending structure collapsed. This makes the book a study of how financial institutions confuse market enthusiasm with real value. Its lesson is not limited to oil and gas. It applies to any sector where rapid growth makes weak underwriting look acceptable, because everyone believes the future will validate the risk. Thirdly, greed, corruption, and the erosion of normal banking standards. Zweig does not portray Penn Square's failure as an accident of markets alone. He emphasizes the human behavior that allowed risky decisions to continue long after warning signs should have been obvious. Bankers extended credit to con artists, wildcatters, and overly optimistic speculators because the boom rewarded volume over caution. The book examines how ambition and corruption can make professional judgment porous, especially when profits are immediate and accountability is weak. This is one of its most important analytical points. Bad lending is rarely just a technical error. It often depends on incentives that reward short-term gain and on a culture that normalizes exceptions. By tracing the behavior of bankers, borrowers, and intermediaries, Zweig shows that institutional failure is also moral failure. The book is therefore not only about one bank's collapse, but about how trust is undermined when fiduciary responsibility gives way to opportunism. Fourthly, investigative reporting as a way to reconstruct financial crisis. From the inside, the book stands out for its journalistic method. Rather than writing a detached economic history, Zweig uses investigative reporting to piece together the bank's collapse through documents, people, and the sequence of events leading to intervention by regulators. That approach gives the narrative a clear practical value. Readers see not only what happened, but how a reporter can expose hidden financial fragility before it becomes fully visible to the public. The book has been praised for its detail because it does not rely on abstractions. It shows the mechanics of risky lending, the personalities involved, and the way alarm signals were missed or ignored. This makes the work especially effective for readers who want to understand banking crises as lived events rather than just balance sheet outcomes. The reporting style also helps explain why the book remains relevant. Financial scandals are often documented best when a journalist follows the paper trail and connects private decisions to public consequences. Lastly, why the Penn Square story still matters for banking supervision and investor judgment. One reason the book remains important is that its lessons extend beyond the 1980s energy market. The collapse of Penn Square offers a case study in why banks, examiners, directors, and investors must pay attention to underwriting discipline, concentration risk, and the quality of collateral. The book is frequently recommended for business and banking audiences because it translates a historical failure into practical warning signs. It shows how quickly optimism can overpower governance when people assume that rising asset prices will solve weak lending. It also demonstrates that secondary exposure can be as dangerous as direct exposure, since larger institutions suffered after relying on the loans Penn Square originated. This broader perspective gives the book lasting value for readers studying financial regulation or credit risk. Its importance lies in the combination of vivid narrative and institutional lesson. The story is specific to Oklahoma energy lending, but the principles are general enough to apply wherever lenders confuse speed, growth, and confidence with safety. In conclusion, Belly Up is best suited for readers interested in banking history, financial journalism, regulatory failure, and the mechanics of credit bubbles. It will be especially useful for business students, bank directors, examiners, investors, and anyone who wants to understand how a seemingly small institution can help destabilize a much larger financial system. The book offers practical insight into lending standards, collateral valuation, boom-driven risk-taking, and the consequences of weak oversight. It also has intellectual value as a case study in how local economic exuberance can become systemic exposure. What makes it stand out from many books in the same category is its combination of investigative detail and historical perspective. Rather than treating Penn Square as an isolated scandal, Zweig places it within the oil and gas boom that shaped its rise and the broader banking environment that amplified its collapse. The result is a work that is both readable and instructive, with lessons that remain relevant in any era of speculative lending and financial overconfidence. If you would like to support Philip L.L. Zweig, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.